Have you noticed this at your house? People walking around looking at screens? Have you noticed this at work? Have you noticed this at a restaurant? Or where everyone's looking at screens? We've become screen heads. Relationships in this environment suffer from what I call virtual vacuum. The virtual vacuum. We seem to be connected to everybody, but our relationships are characterized by an emptiness, an aching emptiness. We're not really close to much of anyone. We're connected to everyone, everybody, but we're not close to anybody in a meaningful way. We're lonely, even though the whole world is at our fingertips. We need to take the advice found in the next slide. Now, how do you like that? That's a wise businessman right there, or businesswoman. Now, we do not have Wi-Fi. Talk to each other, please. Pretend it's 1995. Wasn't there a song called that or something? Yeah. We need to put our phone away and listen to those who are near to us. There's an app for that, you know. It's called Respect. Relationships. We all long for them. Our hearts ache for them. And there are various levels of relationships. In this room, in your life, there are acquaintances, and I'm referring to people who share a common interest, or you have intersections with others through work or school or project of some kind. So there are acquaintances, there are associates that you are perhaps in partnership with, or your next door to cubicle at work. Or whatever. Maybe you teach school and your associate, your colleague, teaches in the room across the hall from you. And these are deepening levels: acquaintances, associates, family. So you have your immediate family, your extended family, and the lovely annual family reunion where you have all kinds of interesting things going on. But then there are true friends. I call them close friends. The most intimate relationship, perhaps, not always, might be a husband and a wife. But a true friend is rare, but a true friend is a deep relationship. It's a close relationship. And there's a reason that I put a true friend ahead of or deeper than your extended family. There is a good reason for that. Dave read in the scripture this morning, a friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time of need. How many of you have ever heard that proverb? A friend is always loyal, or a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I want you to consider something with me, if you would, please. A close friend can be better than a sibling. Now, siblings will be there in difficulty. They're loyal, that's for sure. But they might not like you. Yeah. Yeah, our brothers, our sisters are there for us. But they might not like us. Truth is that friendship brings something into your life, into my life, that family can't bring, that romance can't bring, that networking relationships can't bring. It's true, right? Your siblings are stuck with you. That's it. Your brothers, my sister, they're stuck with me. They got no choice. They're obligated to be some sort of safety net for me. and me for them. And that's what family's for. But a friend chooses you. A friend chooses you. When someone is loyal to you at all times, good and bad, and they don't have to, but they choose to, that person is a true friend. It's different. In some cases, it's better. Lately, we're discovering this about wisdom. In the Bible, wisdom is certainly not less than being moral and good, but wisdom is much more than morality or goodness or kindness. It is being so in touch with reality that you know what the right thing to do is. In the vast majority of situations that moral rules don't apply to. Wisdom is the ability to live life with skill. And in today's scripture lesson, you heard a taste, just a taste, of the Old Testament book of Proverbs on the subject of friendship. It teaches us a critical truth, that we will not be wise people unless we perfect the art of discovering, cultivating, and keeping terrific friendships. And so today I want to give you five words to the wise about the art of friendship. These five words I hope you'll write down and consider as you think you're a friend and you look for friends. But I also want us to understand something, that we fail as friends. There is a perfect friend. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. But as I prayed earlier today in the prayer of invocation, we fail in the area of being friends, and we need to be humble and acknowledge that, and at times even seek forgiveness, ask forgiveness, apologize humbly to those that consider us in their circle of friendship. But these words will help us as we consider the art of friendship, knowing that Christians, followers of Jesus, really should be the best friends that people can find. And so word number one is caution. Caution. In our formative years, we are shaped predominantly by our family relationships. But as we approach adulthood and going forward, it is our friendships that mold and make us. It is our friendships that really shape us. And so Proverbs strikes a cautionary note. And that cautionary note is this, simply this. We become what we expose ourselves to through our friendships. Rewind. Teach your kids this. Teach your grandkids this. We become what we expose ourselves to through our friendships. Paul's letter to the Corinthians echoes this truth when he says bad company, and I'm not talking about the band, bad company corrupts good character. And so this art of choosing, keeping, cultivating, and maintaining friends is an art. And it begins, Proverbs says, with caution. So much of friendship is about character. And so the caution is to inspect your own character as you think about being a friend, but then to inspect the character of those that you would want to be friends with. In truth, character wins friends. Character keeps friends. And so the caution is simply this. Don't choose foolish friends. Anytime you deal with people that are having some kind of problem, whether it is a drug problem, whether it's a problem with sexual immorality or violence or gossip, and a friend, a person wants to change, that's one of the first things that I say, well, who are your friends, and do they behave this way? You have to find new friends. That's what lots of kids around here are being told that end up having a problem with heroin. You have to find new friends. Don't choose foolish friends. What are these friends like that we shouldn't choose? Well, Proverbs 20:19, they're gossips. A gossip separates close friends. I've got to have a tight rein on my tongue if I'm going to expect to have and keep close friends. I cannot betray them. I must understand this, that any information that has been entrusted to me by my friend is a sacred trust meant for keeping, not for spreading around, not for sharing as a prayer request. And so, information that your friend gives you is meant to be kept. A gossip is someone that we want to be cautious about and not really allow them into our circle, because we may end up having a problem and lose friends as a result of it. Don't choose foolish friends. Gossips. Toxic, short-tempered people. Volatile people. Partiers, liars, unreliable, inconsiderate people, violent people, sexually immoral people. I'm not talking about complete disassociation, but I am talking about the whole issue of friendship. I mean true friendship. We only have the capacity for a few people that we would classify as true friends, because it takes time, right? It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of emotional energy. Be careful. Don't be this kind of person. And know the dangers of bringing these types of people into your close circle. Well, what kind of person should I be? Just the opposite of what you see here. Okay, just the opposite. Don't be known as a violent person, as a sexually immoral person. My brother has this statement, and I'm sorry to chuckle because it's not really a laughing matter. My brother says this. He says, John, he says, some men, you can trust them with your life. You just can't trust them with your wife. And he's right. And so we have to be the opposite of these things. We need to learn how to zip our lip. We need to learn how to cool down instead of just exploding. We need to be careful about the whole, the reputation of being a glutton or a partier. We need to be truthful, not a liar. We need to be dependable, someone that can be counted on. We need to be considerate. The first note that Proverbs plays about the subject of friendship is a cautionary one. But then there are four positive notes that are played in the melody of friendship that go on from the cautionary note. And the first one is constancy. A friend is loyal at all times. He's constant. She's constant. She's there. Now, this doesn't mean that he or she is there all the time. It just means that he or she is there in all kinds of times. There's a difference. Dave read the scripture today about the danger of being in your friend's face all of the time, right? Seldom go to your neighbor's house. If he sees too much of you, what did you say, Dave? He'll be sick at the sight of you. Okay? This doesn't mean all the time. It means all kinds of times. Good times, bad times, ordinary times, the routine, the mundane. You're just there. You're constant. You're dependable. You're trustworthy. You see, you cannot be a godly friend without availability. You have to be available. And I think most importantly, it's being there when the chips are down. You know, everybody loves you when things are going well. You're prospering, you're popular. You can provide opportunities for people. But when the chips are down, that's when a true friend really means something and really matters. Not call me if you need something. That's a phrase we ought to be guarded against saying. It's easy to say that. But simply, hey, I'm here. I'll be there. Instead of saying, call me if you need anything, do something for that person. Constancy. Carefulness. The third word is carefulness. What does it mean? It means that you ought to be sensitive. It means that you understand when to joke around and when not to. You understand what joking is inappropriate and what humor or pranks are appropriate. You need to be an encouraging presence. You need to be emotionally sensitive. Don't be singing happy songs, Proverbs says, to a sad heart. Understand a person's need for space. Be careful. Be sensitive. And we fail in this area, I think. As I was looking at this message, putting it together, and asking the question, where do we tend to fail? I think this is one that I would check mark and say, there are times, because we're so busy, we're not necessarily sensitive to where an individual is at the moment, emotionally, or what's going on in their life, and we can be careless and insensitive and cause hurt. There are things which disrupt friendships and characterize this insensitivity. And that is, getting into senseless arguments, having to win, meddling in affairs that are really none of your business. Just because you're a close friend with someone doesn't mean that you have access into every compartment of their life. Being contentious. Being someone who doesn't understand humor and joking. And I think we fail here as well in the name of just kidding. We don't realize what our words actually do to people, what our jokes may say to people, or how they may be affected as time goes on. They may not show you at all that they are upset or hurt. But your jokes, my jokes, may be insensitive, and we ought to be careful with our humor. Be careful. Now, on the other side of that is a word that Proverbs brings up that is about honesty. It's about candor. Be cautious, be constant, be careful, but be honest. Practice candor. Proverbs speaks of us being friends who actually wound each other. Friendly wounds. Words that your friend needs that will be painful for them to hear, but ultimately will be for their own good. Proverbs says, an open rebuke is better than hidden love. Wounds from a friend are better than flattery from an enemy. And so this requires courage. And this tests a friendship. If one person can really be bluntly honest with another one and say, listen, I feel like you're headed down a wrong road. I feel like you're missing something. You're missing out on God's best. Give your Christian friends hunting licenses to confront you if you're failing to live up to your commitments to the Lord, to family, to your work, whatever areas of your life that are visible. I liked that, I guess, because I'm a hunter. I give my friends hunting licenses, give them permission to come after me in a friendly sort of way, to wound me for my own good. I need to practice candor. Finally, the word that is at the end here is counsel. Proverbs speaks to us to give wise counsel to each other. The heartfelt counsel of a friend is as sweet as perfume and incense. The godly person gives good advice to their friends. And here's where I would underscore the necessity, the need for multi-generational relationships, where older people mentor and take an interest in younger people, where younger people see the wisdom of hearing from older people and their life experience and hearing wise counsel. And obviously, then, friends, this instructs us to be active in giving counsel. It gives us permission to be teachers. It gives us permission to step into a person's life. So we ought to be wise enough to receive it. We ought to care enough to give it. That's the point of Proverbs, is putting us in a position to have God's wisdom and then to impart it to others, to invest in those that need it. Why? Let them learn some other way besides the school of hard knocks. I think about 2 weeks from today, there'll be a special service for our graduates. We have a large graduating class this year. Kids that are leaving Boyertown High School or area high schools and heading off into a new chapter of their life. And these young people are in need of individuals who will care enough to offer wise counsel. And I know these kids, and I'll tell you what, it's a good group of kids. They're eager to receive it. It's just a matter, do we understand and realize the opportunity that we have to make that kind of a difference? Do we understand as people in our circle of friendship that one of the purposes that God has for putting friends in our life is to confront us, to counsel us, to help us avoid various landmines in life, that we might be spared from many sorrows? And so let me ask you this question as we close this up today. What kind of a friend are you? Do you have close friends? Have you considered friendship an art to be perfected? A painting on a canvas of someone else's life. Your influence, your relationship with them, and the investment that you make in them as a person. What kind of friend are you? And what kind of friend do you look for? And do you recognize the seriousness of this truth that our friends, in many cases, mold and shape us? What and who we expose ourselves to in friendships mold us and shape us and affect really our relationship with God and our view of the world. I want you to pray about this subject this week of friendship. Think about the kind of person you are, the kind of friend you are to others, the kind of friends that you need. Maybe you need a change in your friendship. Maybe your friendships need to go deeper. Maybe because of the fact that you're so busy, or even because you're afraid, your relationships have remained rather shallow. Maybe God is calling you today to go deeper with some people and to understand the beauty of friendship and the power of the influence that it brings. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the people in our lives that are true friends. I ask that you would give us wisdom as we go forward, as we think of the relationships that we have. Help us to understand that friendship is a fine art and to see the value of it. The value in that we need them, the value in that we need to be friends. We thank you for Jesus Christ. He is the truest friend who sticks closer than a brother. A friend who has met us in our deepest need and gives us the power and the ability to be the kind of friend that you would want us to be. And so bless us in this way, I pray in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen.